welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture in James. Actually, it's the latter part of James chapter 1, verse 21. There's a truth there, and I just really want to kind of amplify it, resound it in our hearts this morning. James, speaking to the saints, says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." In the Amplified, it says, "In a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls." The Message: in simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Praise God. You know, this scripture was not written to unbelievers to try to get them saved. He goes on to say, you know, it's the doer of the word. It's not the hearer of the word that's blessed, it's the doer of the word that's blessed. These are exhortations to believers. It's kind of an interesting exhortation, isn't it? You know, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. I thought my soul was already saved. Well, yeah, your soul is saved in the sense that you're born again. I mean, if you get really technical, there's your pneuma and there's your psuche. Okay, your pneuma is your actual spirit being, your actual spirit part of you. Your psuche really is kind of another layer. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions, okay? So there's those two parts. They're all called, throughout the scripture many times, they're called the heart or the inward man. And it really comprises those components of the pneuma and the psuche, the spirit and the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, when you got born again, when you got saved, your pneuma, your spirit, became a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old passed away, all became new. That pneuma, inner spirit part of you, became righteous. It was the gift of God, not of works. No one can boast about it. You were given that righteousness as a gift in your spirit. Not only did your spirit become brand new, but your spirit became new so that the Holy Spirit could dwell in your spirit. So you've got this inward part of you that is brand new, your pneuma, your spirit. But there's this other part of you, your psuche, which is also part of your heart, part of your inward man, that comprises your mind, your will, and your emotions. And how many of you realize that after you got born again, you got saved, you received Christ, you still had some problems with your mind, your will, and your emotions? That is a work in progress, isn't it? It is. You know, Paul tells the Romans, he says, you know, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where we all are right now. Whether you just received Christ yesterday or whether you've been walking with him for 50, 60 years, it doesn't matter. We're all in that process of renewing our minds. The Apostle Paul himself said, "I don't count myself to have apprehended. One thing I do is forgetting those things that are behind, I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead." And so that's the process, the psuche part of us. So when the scripture is saying, you know, the scripture is able to save your soul, that Greek word is psuche. It's that mind, will, and emotion part of you. That can be what Romans 12 said. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that part of you that can go from glory to glory in your mind, you can see things, understand things, you come in harmony with your own spirit, okay, which is already brand new in Christ. So as we're talking about this concept of the word being able to save your soul, as believers, I really want to focus in on an aspect of that. Again, the word soul is psuche, the word save is sozo. All right, that's the Greek word sozo, which means to heal, preserve, protect. The word of God has the ability to heal, protect, preserve your mind, your will, and your emotions. The Word of God is so powerful. But this morning, I want to look at a specific aspect of the Word of God. And what I've called the message, the title of my message is a little broader than that. It's simply called Getting Control of Your Emotions. The emotional part of you, your emotional component is in your soul. It's in your psuche, mind, your will, and your emotions. And so when you have emotional flare-ups and emotional things going on and you want to get control of your emotions, praise God, there are some powerful ways you can get control of your emotions. And the scripture just tells us up front, the Word of God has the ability to preserve, protect, heal your mind, will, and your emotions. The Word of God has, when you receive it with meekness, it has the ability to do amazing things in stabilizing your soul. You could subtitle this, you know, I don't know, how the Word stabilizes you emotionally or something like that, but I wanted to say it like that to kind of get your attention a little bit, because ultimately, anybody who's going to get control of their emotions, really, it's going to take the Word of God to do that. Now, that's just kind of a high-level statement, but this morning I want to look specifically at how that happens. And you know, if you've been around Door of Life much, I'd like to really get into the Word of God. I'd like to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of things, you know, kind of our statement, our mission, or kind of sub-statement of Door of Life, as we say, Door of Life, where faith meets real life. And we want to talk about not these concepts of faith, not in kind of spiritual la-la land, but we want to bring them back down to where we live. And this morning, I'll be just quite honest with you, as I was just praying over this message and just seeking God, I just really feel like the flavor of the message this morning is we're going to get into the Word, but there's going to be, I just sense, exhortation this morning. Just some encouragement to you this morning, okay? We know a lot of the how-tos and wherefores of how the Word works already. So I'm going to kind of build on what we've already talked about in some of these areas. I'll still talk about it. I'll still touch on it. And, you know, we'll understand the mechanics to a level. But I'm not going to get deep into the mechanics of it this morning. I'm really going to get more kind of just trying to exhort and connect with where we live emotionally and how that ties into our faith, how it ties into the Word of God. So in the first point that I want to talk about is just as far as getting control of your emotions, and that is a word, these are just single little simple words, separation. Separation. What do I mean by separation? Well, I already know that the Word has the ability to save my soul. We're going to go a little bit deeper and see how the Word can do that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Same verse in the Amplified. For the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, and of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So as I was talking to you before about the inward man and those two components of the inward man, you've got this righteous new creation human spirit that God did immediately at the moment you received Christ. You've got that immortal spirit part of you there. But then you've also got the soul part of you, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And they are so closely related. They're just called the heart. They're called the inward man. They're so close. They're so connected. And yet I know that spirit part of me is the part that became brand new. And the Holy Spirit lives in that part of me. And yet the soul part of me is the part that is the work in progress. So you got these two parts of you, this perfect, righteous human spirit, the gift of God, right next to this imperfect soul part of you that really needs to get renewed to the Word of God. And sometimes when you've got that situation, it's very easy to get in an identity crisis. Because there's that part of you again that, wow, thank you, Jesus. You made me new. You made me your very own child. But then that other party that still wants to do the wrong thing. The Apostle Paul in Romans 7 said, man, things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do want to do. We've kind of talked about this in previous messages, kind of the odd couple. You got these two parts of you, you know, that are kind of going two different ways. And you think, man, how can I effectively get control of my soul? I've been teaching, preaching, hearing sermons like this throughout the years. And there's something that I have come to find throughout the years, and that is whenever you talk about emotions and feelings on a Sunday morning at church, it's amazing our ability to step outside of ourselves and look at our emotions in third person. And objectively look at some of our feelings and know, according to the Word of God, yep, that's classic bitterness. That's wrong. Yep, there's the fear. We can kind of lay things out and we can be so objective again on a Sunday morning and begin to look at our feelings and our emotions. And we know that we're not to be led by our feelings and led by our emotions. We're going to live by word. We're going to live by faith. And we're not going to let our emotions control and wigwag us. And I've been there, you've been there, Sunday morning. Look at your own emotions, feeling attached to your history, attached to those relationships, attached to the things that you're going through, and be able to objectively look at your own feelings and emotions and understand what's right, what's wrong, what you should and shouldn't do. Third person, stepping outside, looking, analyzing. And it won't take probably the drive home before all of a sudden you just feel stirred in your emotions and thoughts and feelings, and all of a sudden, before you know it, they are controlling and wigwagging you. You've just went from third person objective analysis of emotions to first person, and they're, oh, you're feeling something strong. And even if you feel that nagging sound, you know you really need to not be led by your feelings. Just be quiet. I don't want to hear it. You are so connected emotionally. And Sunday morning, it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to look at it in light of the Word of God. It's another thing when you are not at church to really get control of your emotions. Here's my question. Why do we have more of an uncanny ability to be magnanimous, to step outside of ourselves, and see our emotions in third person? Something has already happened to you this morning, whether you're aware of it or not. When you came through that door, you might have had some fellowship with a few believers and brothers and sisters in Christ. You came here, we had some worship. We honored the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang songs that were word-oriented songs. We prayed. We fellowshipped. We're seeing the Word of God right now. The Word of God does something to you. All right? We said, there's your spirit and there's your soul. Something has the ability to divide them asunder. There is the ability to separate your spirit and your soul. In other words, your ability to take that soul emotional part of you and move it off into a third person place where you can analyze it is a gift of God. It is the power of the Word of God that does that. The Word is powerful. How so? It divides the soul and the spirit. The Word of God is what has the ability to get in between your soul and your spirit and cause you to look objectively at your soul. We're talking about getting control of your soul. You know, we think of words like, well, you just have to have a, you know, temperament and, you know, different things, like kind of natural things that we can do. The Word of God has the power to do that. In fact, if you think about in your own life, times that you've been spending in the Word of God, whether it's on purpose or otherwise, you get immersed in the Word of God. That uncanny ability to step outside yourself and be honest with yourself, it comes from the Word. All right? Let's take a look at another scripture right along these lines. This is talking about the warfare that we fight, all right? For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul is saying right away, right up front, he's saying we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We wrestle. It's just a different kind of wrestling. We're wrestling against powers. We're wrestling against principalities. We're wrestling against those things that are coming against our mind and trying to distract and dissuade and contradict the word of God. We are wrestling. He goes on to list armor, but he comes to this piece of armor. He says, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amplified says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. Here again, the word is likened to a sword. Over here, when you're talking about the word of God in that context is the Logos. It's your Bible, the written word of God. In this context, the word of God, which is sharp, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That word of God is rhema. It's the spoken word of God. Okay? So what happens here in terms of getting control of your soul, getting control of your emotions, and you're swinging that sword of the Spirit against those things that are wrestling against your mind, right? That word rhema, it's the spoken word of God. In other words, the word of God was meant to come out of your mouth, to be spoken. When Jesus was wrestling, what did he do in the wilderness? He spoke the word of God. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is a spoken word. Now, here's the amazing thing that happens. In your life, maybe you're dealing with a spirit of fear, wrestling against a spirit of fear, okay? And you begin to take that word, and you declare it. God has not, it is written. I like to say, it is written, like Jesus said, it is written. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I haven't received a spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but I've received a spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. And you sense something happening when you declare that. What is that's the word getting in between you and your soul. And all of a sudden, all your worried little panic thoughts have to stop and be quiet and hear what the word of the Lord says. The word creates separation. The word gives you the same ability that you have on a Sunday morning, in the middle of your car, at home, to be objective with your emotions, to get your emotions under control. The power of the word is what separates, your spirit from your soul. It gives you the ability to not be, you know, nearly nagged by your theology. Now, this is what I believe, but the word. Again, I feel this morning, I'm not getting the mechanics of it that much. I'm getting into the exhortation of it. A lot of the stuff you know. I'm just encouraging. It's really true. The word has that power to do it. And when you speak the word of God, it's not just the authority of the word you're sensing. It's not just the authority and the power of the word you're sensing, but something's happening in you. Your soul's getting pushed out to third person. It's from first person control to third person. And now the word is in control. And you have the ability then, once you do that, once you begin to believe that the word of God is what can bring separation, hallelujah, put space in between. You think of the, here it is, separation, separates. What do we have the, you think of the astronauts, and there's stages of different things, and they'll say, Houston, we have separation, or there, we now have separation. You can experience that in your own being. When you went from being afraid to where all of a sudden you're thinking the word of God and your emotions are out here taking orders from you. Like somebody once, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth, where somebody asked, you know, said, came up to Smith and said, you know, Smith, you know, how do you feel in the morning? And he said, I don't ask Smith how he feels in the morning. I tell Smith how he feels in the morning. That's somebody who starts with the word. How do I feel today? I'm probing my emotions for direction. Well, you're kind of doomed from the start there. But when you proactively take the word of God, there is power in that word. Not just, again, on a Sunday morning with a sound system. The word is powerful without sound systems, without preachers on a Sunday morning. Thank God for it. Thank God for being fed by the word. But this works everywhere. For you, it works everywhere. It works in your car. It works in the grocery store. It works at home. This word is powerful. Getting your emotions under control. The word of God. I've hidden that word in my heart that I might not sin against him. The word of God. The word. And again, you don't need to know the whole Bible. You just know some scriptures. You just know a few scriptures. You know, it's always good to have a scripture of the day. If you just have one scripture of the day for you, I'll tell you what, you just go to the word. It doesn't even necessarily have to be the word regarding, you know, thank God for the sword and specific promise, you know, if you're dealing with fear, resistant fear, but you can just change the channel to any part of the word of God and get word focused, and the power of the word of God will begin to divide us under your soul and your spirit. It's a miracle. The ability, I like to put it this way, the ability for you to be honest with yourself comes as the word separates your soul and your spirit. You find that ability. You'll spend some time in the secret place, and all of a sudden, those little tender areas that you don't want anybody to go to, you can go there. And you're not afraid to go there anymore. You have separation. You have separation. The word separates that. The word brings that separation. The word gives you the boldness to be honest with yourself and to look at things in the light of the word of God. That's the power of the word of God in your life. We've all experienced it, maybe in glimpses and flashes and seasons. But we need to know. Sometimes we're victorious and we don't even know why we're quite victorious. We kind of connect it to other things. The word is the reason. And that's something I can control. I can choose to spend time meditating in the word of God. Meditating in the word. I'm going to encourage you this. Memorize scripture. Memorize scripture. Meditate scripture, memorize scripture. They really kind of go hand in hand. It's kind of hard to memorize scripture without meditating scripture. And as you meditate scripture, you kind of memorize scripture. You know, it's not one versus the other. You know, I've almost kind of heard different battles. Man, it's both. You're memorizing, you're meditating, you're hiding it in your heart. It's, you know, I'll tell you, when you got a word agenda, you got scripture you're working on. Man, that's really good. That's a good way to keep the word in you. Dividing asunder your soul and spirit. This is mental health. Keeping the word of God in your spirit. It causes that separation. Because I'm telling you what, feelings and passions, they go so deep. They go so deep, but the word goes deeper. I don't care how deep those roots go. It can sift, analyze, expose, judge the deepest parts of your nature. And the word can root things out and make you not afraid of your own soul. You need separation to do that. The word is what separates. The word is what separates in your heart. The word is what separates when you're dealing with those demonic powers and principalities. The word does the separation. Okay, next, accountability. It kind of goes hand in hand, too. Not only does the word provide that separation where it can, you know, your soul is here and you can kind of step outside your soul and be objective, but also that word provides accountability for your soul as well, too. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians, and this is the weapons of our warfare, and of course, we just got done looking at one of the weapons of our warfare is the sword of the Spirit, right? And as we look at what those weapons can do. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh, which is just what he got done saying in Ephesians 6. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we've been over this ground before too. And the weapon that allows me to do that is the word of God. Now, you'll notice the language here. It's definitely very much a warfare language. You know, we looked at that warfare passage. we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principality, taking up the armor of God. That's very militaristic. And then again, you see this language of military here. We don't war according to the flesh, but we are warring with weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but yet we are warring. And you see he goes on to say, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Again, this is really strong language. Captivity, obedience, bringing it in. Prisoners of war, all right? Making your thoughts a prisoner of war. What has the ability? The Word of God. The Word of God. Why is thoughts so key when it comes to emotions? Because the thought bone is connected to the emotion bone, all right? If you win the thought battle, you're going to win the emotion battle. Your emotions feed on thoughts. They feed on them. And there is an accountability that the Word of God brings to us. And I thank God for that accountability. Again, it could be a nagging thing in our heart and mind, you know. You're just burning up with anger and bitterness over what that person just did. And all of a sudden, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. What is that? That's a powerful weapon of your warfare. It's providing accountability. And yes, we've all been there. And yes, those accountability thoughts can be nagging thoughts. I gotta forgive. Oh, I gotta forgive. I know I gotta forgive. I know I gotta forgive. I know I gotta forgive. Well, praise God. Not only do you gotta forgive, but you've got the power to forgive. Praise God. Here's the way it works for me. It's kind of a 1-2 punch. Once I kind of snag something, might bring that thought into captivity, I go right to Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So what I'll do is I'll go to that captive thought thing. And you know what? It is amazing. When you're worked up emotionally, it can actually be a little tricky to kind of remember, how did I get here? What? You know, you're off. And you, emotionally, and you're going, what was the deal here? You know, and you, all of a sudden you think, oh yeah, I thought of something. You might have thought of something, all right? And when you take, what did I think of, all right? I'm not going to just let the enemy hit me and run. What did I think of it? Why am I here? I'm bringing that thought into captivity. Oh, it was something somebody did before. And so you think, okay, it's in have I forgiven it yet, or have I not forgiven it yet? Okay, I haven't forgiven this. I really haven't dealt with this. So I'm going to go to Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I'm coming in supplication with that thought. Say, here we are, Lord. You said be anxious for nothing. That means emotional stability and strength and peace. Well, if I'm going to be anxious for nothing, I'm going to need resolution regarding this thing. I'm going to have to bring it into the obedience of Christ, don't I? That's ultimately what's going to diffuse it. I don't just bring it into captivity. I do that, but I bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So let's go to Christ and take that thing. That person said that they did that. And the Lord says, yeah, you know what you need to do next, right? Is your supplication, Father, even as you've forgiven me, I forgive them according to your word. And I thank you that you've forgiven me. And I remember my $1 million debt against me. And I thank you for it. And Father, by faith, I forgive them. You've given me the ability to do that. What happens next? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Emotional stability. There's a peace there that you get. And then finally, whatever things are true, noble, honest. Now let's say that thought comes back. Probably will come back 5 minutes later. Next time it comes back, you say, yep, that's forgiven. Praise God. I'm just standing. I thank you, Lord. That's forgiven in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Then you know what I'm doing? I'm thinking on things that are true, honest, just, noble, pure, lovely. I'm praying for them. Bless them. Do good. Hallelujah. That's not cheating. Verse 8 is not denial. Do you understand? When you do verse 6, when you've done your due diligence and you've taken that thought captive and you've done what you know to do from the Word of God, then you can just freely do verse 8. Verse 8 is kind of like a standing verse. You're just standing. I'm standing in things true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy, good, praise God, good report. Those are the things that I'm thinking about standing on. Because the enemy, when you begin to fight him, he's got his little tactics and things that he's doing. You know, one of the things I just said could be bitterness, unforgiveness. That's one of the things. Maybe it's a care. You know what I'm saying? You think, or you don't know how it's going to work out. And so I'm full of anxiety and worry because I've got to stop. Now, why am I full of anxiety and worry here? You think, well, you should just know. Well, okay, but why? Well, it's this situation. It could be a relationship situation, could be a financial situation, but something's causing you to worry. What am I going to do? Okay, I'm going to take that. Go back to Philippians 4:6. He said, be anxious for nothing. Here we go again, Lord. Wow, how in the world am I going to handle that situation? Well, you said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. So here I am, Lord. I'm not going to be anxious about this, but I am going to ask on purpose for wisdom for this. In Jesus' name, I need to know what to do. I'm looking to you on purpose, Lord, for wisdom and guidance. And furthermore, I am now casting the care of it over on you because you care for me. I've asked for that wisdom. James 1 says, let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. I am asking in faith. I'm believing for that wisdom. And once I've done that, it's off of me. Have you ever realized that? A lot of times when you just have a lot of things in your mind, if you'll just write a list, how it'll just take the pressure off your mind and now you see it on paper. So many times the pressure that's on our mind, we just need to be Philippians 4:6-ing it. We need to get out of our mind and we need to make it a definite prayer request. Say, Father God, here we go. And pretty soon you're going to be going through things in your life. And all of a sudden, as those thoughts come, it's like, wow, I've prayed about that. I've prayed about that. I've prayed about that. I've cast the care. I've got wisdom. Oh, I haven't prayed about that one. Okay, praise God. I'm going to pray. But it's accountability. The Word provides accountability for your thought life. And pretty soon you realize, man, everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness is wrapped up in these exceedingly great and precious promises. You can never stump the Lord. You can never stump God's Word. In other words, you're never going to bring a thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and say, wow, the Bible says nothing about that. The Bible says something about that, all right? In other words, there is a place where you can go before God and ask specifically for whatever that need is. There are, you know, great promise books out too you can buy nowadays too, where you can even kind of look up categorically, you know, worry, anxiety, fear, finances, relationships, marriage, and really see the scriptures already laid out there. But what it does is it provides that accountability for us. So our thought life. In other words, I'm not just thinking, oh, I shouldn't think about that. Oh, I shouldn't think about that. No, I shouldn't think about that. No, wait. Don't get down on yourself because you shouldn't think about that. What is a thought? Bring it into captivity. Go to Philippians 4:6. Okay, now what? What are we going to do with you? Well, that's just not even true. That's a lie. I resist it in Jesus' name. Sometimes the enemy just will yell loud things. In other words, the enemy can yell. The Bible says he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He might just yell thoughts in your mind, you know, that you know are wrong. You know, at that point, you don't have to say, oh, I'm sorry, God, for thinking that. I'm sorry, God. No, you didn't do anything wrong, all right? You just take that thought into captivity and say, nope, that's wrong. I don't agree with that. It is written, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth except that which is good for the use of edification. I resist it in Jesus' name. And so many things of so many of your teachings, this becomes almost like this. You know, you got the spokes in a wheel, and you got the center of the wheel. Philippians 4:6 is like a hub for all the different thoughts. What does it mean to bring a thought into obedience to Christ? It means that right there. I'm anxious for nothing, but I'm doing something with it. All right. And I'm telling you what, there are other things too where the enemy is just trying to deal with fear, anxiety, things like that. Praise God, you can just say, Lord, I just pray out ahead. You just show me what I need to know. And sometimes things are just confusing. You know, the Bible says he is the author of confusion. And you don't have to bring closure to his confusion either. You can just say, praise God, Lord, my trust is in you. Hallelujah. I'm just looking to you. I'm not trying to figure that mess out. I'm just trusting you. End of story. Praise God. Here we go. So there is an accountability that the Word brings as we exercise this weapon of our warfare. And I'm just saying, in your life, I don't care what is coming against your mind, it's common to man. And there's a way of escape, and God has provided it right here. But what does it mean taking those thoughts into captivity? You're going to find yourself praying a lot. Praise God. Keeping your thought life accountable in prayer. And you're going to be experiencing the peace of God a lot. And find yourself thinking on things true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Once you've addressed them in verse 6, you go right to verse 8. Praise God. Hallelujah. That thing comes up again. Lord, things true, honest, just. What is it saying? It's in the Lord's hands and I'm trusting him with it. I've prayed about it. Praise God. He's got it. Finally, the final aspect of getting your emotions under control as it relates to the Word of God is patience. Okay? There is going to be a patience that sometimes things are just going to take a little bit of time to do. You know, Jesus said, in patience, possess your souls. There are going to be times and seasons in your life where you're going to be going through some stuff. Here we see in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, it says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. You know what this is, that process of 2 Corinthians 10 and Philippians 4, 6 is? That is sowing to the Spirit. That is sowing to the Spirit. That's taking your everyday life issues and sowing them in the Spirit and letting your requests be known unto God and putting them in God's hands. There is a sowing to the Spirit. And what does Paul tell the Galatians? He says, let us not grow weary while doing good. What is the doing good referring back to? Verse 8, he who sows to the Spirit. Let us not grow weary sowing to the Spirit, you could say. For in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. There's an element as you're getting your emotions under control of just simply patience. Patience. This is the real key to serious breakthroughs I've found in my own life. I just kind of had this thought in the back of my mind that, you know, if I'm just really living all out for God, if I'm really doing it right, I should just be really feeling up all the time. I should just be really feeling just really happy. I should just be feeling really good. Do you know that's unscriptural? You should always have peace. But there are things you are going to go through and you're not going to feel good and you're going to be right where you need to be. You're going to be right on track with God. Here's a few examples. 1 Peter says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Do you know you can be doing what you know to do, to be walking in love toward somebody, and they could just throw it back in your face. They can be critical, da-da-da-da-da, and it doesn't feel good. It's hurtful. But you know what? There are seasons at times that you are going to endure grief, suffering wrongfully. We're talking about getting control of your emotions. If victory means you're feeling good all the time, then you're going to be questioning, Lord, why don't I just feel happy? Why don't I feel good? There are going to be seasons where it doesn't feel good. All right? But that's where you're walking by faith and not by sight. And here's the deal too. God is with you. There is a, kind of put it, think of it this way. There is a loneliness, a spiritual loneliness that you experience from being out of fellowship with God. Have you ever experienced that? You're guessing. You're not really connected. You're not really walking. There's a spiritual loneliness. But there is an emotional loneliness you can experience right while you are perfect sync fellowship with God. Your emotions don't have to always be feeling happy all the time. When you get the revelation of that, it's going to take some serious pressure off you. And then you know what you'll do? You'll rejoice by faith and you'll get happy by faith. There's another scripture here, similar concept. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you wish. That fight that goes on, what is the flesh? It's, you know, the sexual sins, the adultery, fornication, but also the outbursts of wrath, the anger, the hatred, the variance, all that stuff that we're wrestling against, that flares up, and you might be having an issue with one of those things. And God is setting you free. I've let my request be made known unto God. I'm trusting God. And emotionally, I'm just, you know, there's the fight. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do, and I know better, and it doesn't feel good. when you can't do the things that you would, that doesn't feel good. There's a weaning from the flesh you'll experience. Weaning of thought patterns and different ways that you may treat people or do things that God is changing in your life. And there is a time where you're experiencing that. And I just, again, this I felt this morning, just an exhortation, it's okay. It's okay to not feel just giddy happy all the time. You are going to go through some things in life that are going to challenge you emotionally. The things that matter are this. Lord, am I walking with you? Am I walking in the Spirit? Is there anything that I've consciously done or know that I've done wrong? I haven't, and I still feel like yuck, and I'm frustrated, and I'm sad, and I feel alone emotionally. I know theologically I'm not alone, but I don't feel you right now. I just feel a bunch of frustrated flesh. No problem. God is in your face smiling. It's kind of like a cloud. You know, the sun is always shining above the clouds. Sometimes emotionally there will be some storms. And when you can see past the emotional yuck you feel and know that God is smiling and he's right there, that's glorious. You know, the Apostle Peter writing to, I didn't get the scripture in here, writing about sometimes demonic seasons of demonic attack. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, not forever, a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Do you know when you really get emotional control? Is when your emotionals feel yuck and you're not moved by it anymore. Your goal isn't to just try to... My goal is, I'm looking inside. Lord, is there something I haven't prayed about? Anything that I need to bring into captivity? No? Great. I'm clear in my heart. Don't feel God at all. Don't feel an ooey-gooey sense of presence. But I'm rejoicing. Praise God. I'm rejoicing. Lord, you never leave me. You never forsake me. The word of God can stir you up. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. But it goes back to that place where you're bringing your emotions under control. Jesus put it this way. Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Abiding in the word, patience, staying with it. I've heard somebody once, you know, I heard a prophecy that just marked my spirit. And I just remember I was at one of those places, and the prophetic word was, you're doing better than you realize. You're doing better than you realize. I'm doing what I know to do, but I'm still not feeling something, that I'm probing for a feeling. You're right on track. Just stay on track. Just stay on track. Continue in the word. See, the word doesn't make you feel good. It makes you free. And you know when you're free. You know when you're free on the inside. That's the power of the word of God. I like to say it like this. Praise God. You know, I'm not living from emotional inspiration to emotional inspiration. That can be a lot of work to keep your emotions up all the time. In fact, I think sometimes God gives our emotions a rest. Where we don't have to just be feeling, you know, 10. But we can just relax and be at peace. And what I'm doing is I'm just checking my heart. Praise God. I don't need a gooey feeling. I'm free. I can stay free, praise God, knowing that the word of God is working in me. And so this morning, like I said, I just felt more like an exhortation this morning in terms of, you know, getting control of your emotions. Understand the power of the word. You don't know where your flesh ends, your spirit begins, and it's like, this is so deep. It's just so deep in me. It's me. I know that technically, theologically, it's not me. How can I get back to that place where I'm taking this first person control, my emotions controlling me, and get it out over here to where it's back in third person again, and I can objectively look at those thoughts. It comes from the word of God. It comes from spending some time in the word of God. What I like to say is having a favorite scripture. I mean, you can beat up the enemy with one scripture. Just get a scripture for the day that is causing your heart and your mind to think along God's thoughts. There is a supernatural action. Hebrews 4:12 says it divides, it penetrates your soul and your spirit. It gives you separation. That's a tremendous gift. no longer intimidated by your own soul, but can look at it. And then when you're there, praise God, there's accountability. What's going through my mind? What's going through my heart? I'm bringing it into captivity. I'm turning it into a prayer request, letting it be made known unto God. And there is something about doing that. When you begin to speak the word, let me tell you something else that happens too. When you begin to speak and declare the word, you'll begin to convince yourself that the word is really true. It's really right. There's reasons why we have strongholds that go deep. We're not sometimes fully convinced. We know the theology, but the Holy Spirit makes it real, makes you free. When you begin to say, I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. There was that movie that came out recently, The War Room. It was really neat to see this lady, and she's in her prayer closet. You know, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You know, she's getting, he will flee. Getting the revelation of that, declaring the word of God. You're actually convincing yourself. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and you're getting faith in things that you theologically already know. But you're convincing. There's a convincing. That lie is getting rooted out in the accountability of the word. And then finally, there's a patience. Praise God. Emotionally, there's ups and downs, but you know what? I'm telling you what. Some of the glorious things are when you're going through a time and you don't feel all up and bubbly and things like that, but you know you're walking with God. You know you're on track with him. Praise God. What do you do then? You just rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, you rejoice by faith. If you're not feeling yuck, don't probe and feel, why do I feel yuck? What am I doing wrong? The enemy, the accuser of their brethren will find something for you. I'm saying, what, you just get stirred up, stir yourself in the Lord. Be encouraged. There's going to be a patience that's going to be involved in getting control. Don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap in due season if you faint not. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your written word. It's amazing how when we receive that word with meekness, it has the ability to save our soul, to heal, protect, to guide our soul, our emotions, our mind, will, and emotions, Lord. I just pray this morning that each one of us would be encouraged. Be encouraged, Father God, to know that that word is working in our hearts right now. It's working in our hearts already this morning. And that that word, that same word, can work anywhere. That sword of the Spirit coming out of our mouths, separating our soul and our spirit, allowing us to see objectively those thoughts and bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of your word, Lord Jesus. That word contains everything regarding life and godliness. We cannot stump you with any of our thoughts. It can be brought into captivity. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we thank you for patience. Patience during those dark times, those stormy times, when we're experiencing the feelings, what the scripture said, that bad boss who might be harsh, but knowing that there is you smiling, encouraging us, commendable as we keep our hearts and minds toward you. As our flesh fights against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, as we're coming off flesh things. Oh, we don't have to feel good. We just need to stay faithful to your word. And in due season, we will reap. There will be healing. Demonic attack, yes. Praise God, we resist, and we will be established, strengthened, and settled. Praise God. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. I just pray that this truth will just ring clear in every heart here this morning. Praise you, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.